Well, this morning I'd like to preach and teach on the Word of God again. As you folks get to know me, you'll discover that I have a recurring theme. If I have a hobby horse, this is what it is. It is the Word of God. All my preaching ultimately comes back to the Word of God as a theme. It is one of my favorite themes to preach on. And I have a few things I believe are reasons for this. All of you who love the Word of God know what those reasons are. Well, let's open up with a very brief word of prayer, and then we're going to turn to the Word of God. Father, I do pray that you would give me help this morning to open up your Word to your people, to do them the good that you would have them to have done in them and through them by your Word. Lord, we find ourselves on a pilgrim journey in a barren and desolate wilderness, this ugly and awful world around us. And we pray that as we grow in your grace and in your Word, we would see ever the more the way everlasting. We would see that wonderful light at the end of the tunnel, a sweet eternity with our Lord Jesus. And that you would open up unto us your Word, that it would be as a light unto our feet in this dark and dismal world. Amen. Now the title of this message is The Power of the Word. And I really want to emphasize the power of the Word of God. I look around today at many very zealous and well-intentioned brothers that I know in various Christian circles today. And I see an emphasis on the work and the power of the Spirit, well-intentioned, but it tramples on the place that God has given His Word. I'll just give you a few examples of this view. I have read and I have heard men say, the Word of God in and of itself cannot awaken, convert, or regenerate. Some of them go so far as to say the Word of God in and of itself is dead letter. I've heard men say, and I've read it in books, a saved man, a godly man, can preach a clear, passionate, doctrinally sound gospel message, and the power of God is not there to convert people, to convince of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. This view treats the Word of God and the preaching of the gospel in such a way that between the preaching of the gospel, between the Word of God and man, you have to interpose some special work of the Holy Spirit that sometimes is there and sometimes isn't there. And that's what you have to have. If you don't have that, the Word of God is not effectual. The gospel preaching is not effectual. I do not believe that. We're going to look at some scriptures this morning that I believe are going to show that the Bible in and of itself is the power of God. The Word of God is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And again, you know, I believe that we need to have the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to minimize the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to minimize the place of being filled with the Spirit of God. I'm not trying to minimize the work of the Spirit of God in convincing of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. But I do want to point out to all of us, refresh our memories, refresh our minds, refresh our hearts with the power that is in the Word of God in and of itself, and correct an imbalance that hopefully none of us have. But if we do, may God help us to submit to the ministry of the Word of God. You know, these views that I was just mentioning, what this amounts to, it is saying that the Word of God in and of itself is not the sword of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 6, it very plainly says, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This view also would tell us that a preacher preaching the gospel, that godly man preaching the gospel, in and of itself, the act of preaching the gospel, is not the sword of the Spirit. I don't believe this. I don't believe it for a moment. Now let's turn to some of the scriptures. Let's start with Romans chapter 1, verse 16. In my thinking, in my belief system that I have gotten from the scriptures, this verse is a linchpin for me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I love this. I love this fact. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We don't have to go searching high and low to find some, quote, power of God so that we can add it to our gospel preaching to make the gospel preaching effective. If you are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are preaching something that is powerful. You are preaching what is the power of God unto salvation. Let's add to this First Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Here again we have this phrase, the power of God. Now, in the scriptures itself says that preaching the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and it tells us that preaching the cross is the power of God unto salvation. How did any man come to think that you can go preach the cross and you can preach the gospel and there's no power in it? Now, obviously, every man that's been reading the Bible for more than a couple years and has got his head screwed on straight, we understand that there are some men who have a greater amount of the work of the Holy Spirit in their life, a greater amount of the blessing of the Spirit in their life, a greater empowering, and some that have less. We can see that. We're not all the same. Not all men are equally devoted. But in our attempt to lift up the Holy Spirit, we don't want to push down the Word of God. We don't want to push down the gospel. The gospel, in and of itself, the preaching of the cross, in and of itself, is the power of God unto salvation. I love this. You know what? You know one of the reasons I love this? Because we as human beings, we leak. We can be sensing the power and the presence and the glory of the Lord, and a day later, we're not fresh. We've leaked. But the power of the gospel to save souls is not dependent on my weak, carnal vessel. The power of the gospel is dependent on, surprise, the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You know, I'm going to take a little rabbit trail and I'm going to go off and touch on some of the end of my sermon before I come back. I have read accounts where unsaved men who were not even unsaved preachers that went to a dead seminary, unsaved men stand up on a table in a tavern and preach the gospel as a joke, thinking, I can preach the gospel better than that gospel preacher I heard last week.
And the gospel that he preached went home, converted himself, and converted people in the bar. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I have read instances of ungodly people sitting in a dead Catholic church, in a dead meeting, listening to the Sunday gospel reading, read very dryly by an unsaved, ungodly Catholic priest. And surprise, surprise, the reading of the Sunday gospel reading went home and did its job and converted people. This has happened. It still happens today. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Another little rabbit trail. If you're not saved, you don't have to go looking for something special to happen or to experience to get saved. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Whether you read it yourself in the pages of Scripture, or you read it in a gospel tract, or you hear a preacher preach the gospel, if you believe the message that Jesus Christ died and rose again for the forgiveness of sin, and you believe that, you will be saved. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Let me turn to another verse on the power of the Word. Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful." And how powerful is it? "It pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." You reflect on this and you will see how powerful the Word of God is. There is nothing else on the face of the earth that can divide between the soul and the spirit. There is nothing else on earth, neither book nor philosophy nor ideology nor brain power nor computers nor nothing, that can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. But how many times have we seen instances where a man sitting in a meeting and listening to the ministry of the Word of God comes under conviction for a sin that he has never told a single soul? And the Word of God goes home and discerns the true state of his heart and does its job. It's God-designed, God-given job, and it does it powerfully. You know, I don't want to discourage a single soul in this room. If you believe that you need to have more of a filling of the Spirit, scripturally understood. If you think you need more, go get it. But one thing I do want to remind you is the gospel is powerful in and of itself. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We have at our fingertips, in these words, the greatest power on earth that any man can wield, right here. But not only is the Word of God powerful, the Word of God is living. Let's turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 63. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." How many times have I heard that quoted? The rest of the verse says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." These words are not dead. These words are not mere ink on paper. The Lord said the Word of God, the words that He spoke, the Gospel. It is Spirit. And it is life. You have these words. You have, to quote Scripture from another passage, the words of life. You don't need to go trotting off somewhere. You don't need to go to some seminar. You don't need to lock yourself in an upper room and spend 28 weeks seeking some power from on high, because these words don't have Spirit in them and you need to get the Spirit from somewhere else. And these words don't have life in them. You need to get life from somewhere else. These words are Spirit and life. And to quote a passage I already read, Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful. Quick means living. It's alive. 1 Peter 1:23 says, the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. It's living. You know, this book is vastly different than any other book on the face of the earth. Now, we may read it the same. We use the same principles of interpretation. Although I would say that what we have to interpret and understand here is 1,000 times deeper than any other book you've ever read or ever will read. But what is different about this book? Its content is different. This book is Spirit. No other book on earth is Spirit. This book is life. No other book on earth is life. This book gives life. No other book on earth gives life. This book is powerful in a way that no other book is powerful. The Word of God does not merely exist. It's not like a rock. It's not like a piece of wood. It is life and Spirit. But the Word of God now is also a life bearer and a life giver. Turn, please, with me to Romans 1:16. We're going to review that again, where we see that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And as I mentioned earlier, I absolutely love this phrase. I one time sat in conversation with a Calvinist brother. Dear brother, loves the Lord. Oh, but he insisted. You can have a godly man stand in the pulpit and preach the gospel clearly and powerfully and full of passion, full of zeal, and preach it soundly. And there's no power of God there to save people. In his mind, the power of God was only in the Spirit. And I could not persuade him. But I feel sorry for that line of thinking. Because I don't read in my Bible that the gospel of God is powerless. I don't read in my Bible that the Word of God is powerless. I read in my Bible that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I read that the Bible, the words of God, are powerful. That's what I read. Let me say this. Every time a saved man stands in the pulpit, a man indwelt by the Holy Spirit, every time such a man preaches the gospel, the power of God to convince of sin, to convert, and to save goes forth. It's there. It's in the preaching of the gospel. Now, I'm not going to say that it's always the same, but it is never absent. You know what? I can look back a few times when I preached the gospel, and maybe some of you brothers have been preaching for a few years, have felt the same thing, seen the same thing. I have had a few instances in my life where I went into the pulpit feeling drier than the Sahara Desert. In fact, I was as dry as the Sahara Desert. I didn't feel or sense an anointing from God. I could see very clearly my carnality and my failures and my shortcomings, and I just had a fight with my wife and I was tangling with other Christians and I was not walking in the Spirit and I was just pretty leaky. And yet, I would look to God before I would get in the pulpit and say a 30-second repentance prayer and get in the pulpit, and I preach the truth. And the truth of God, the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the truth of God went forth in power, and it was not because of me, it was not because I just come out of the upper room, it was not because I had just fasted and prayed, it just wasn't because I had some Pentecostal experience. It was because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It was because God honors the gospel. This is His chosen means to save men. Now here's another passage where the gospel and the Word of God is a life-bearing life-giver. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Here we read, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It is the word of God. The word of God, in this passage, tells us the word of God is what brings life. It is the word of God that gives life. This is not merely just a mere tool in the hand of the Holy Spirit, as some people look at it. The Word of God itself is the power of salvation, the agency of salvation, whatever technical, philosophical term you want to put on it. It is the Word of God that brings new life, that works the new birth. When men believe the Word of God, when men believe the preaching of the gospel, that word does its work. I'm going to quickly go through a few other verses here. I'll just quote them instead of having you turn to them. How about Romans 10:17? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here again, it brings it down to the word of God. It doesn't say faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by some super special preacher with the super special anointing of the Spirit of God. Now I'm not gonna, if we happen to have preachers in our midst that have a greater anointing of the Spirit of God, I'm not gonna decry that. I'm not gonna deny that. But the fact of the matter is, the most Spirit-anointed preachers on earth, they know. That they are just a cracked clay vessel like the rest of us. And that it is the gospel, it is the word of God that is the power that brings faith and brings salvation. James 1:21 talks about the engrafting word, which is able to save your souls. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. This is the word of God again. Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life. John 6:68, thou hast the words of eternal life. Again, I'm going to point out, we take the word of God at face value. And it tells us that the Word of God is not a mere tool. It's not a mere means. It is the cause of salvation. It is the agency of salvation. It is the power of salvation. Whatever term you want to put on it. The Word of God itself regenerates. The Word of God itself converts. The Word of God itself brings life, gives life, is life. You know, the Word of God cleanses too. We read in Psalm 119:9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the Word." I have discovered over and over again as I watch zealous young Christians trying to do the work of God. So often they send people off seeking for something outside the Word of God, some experience to give them victory over sin. And what is the Bible solution? The Bible solution is you take heed to the Word of God. So it says right here, how shall a young man cleanse his way? In fact, how shall a young lady cleanse his way? How shall an old man cleanse his way? And how shall an old sister cleanse her way? Same thing. Taking heed to the Word. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read, "Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water, by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle." He wants to wash his church. This is not justification we're looking at here. This is sanctification. This is not God saying, "You are righteous." This is God cleaning us up with the Word of God. And it's the Word of God that washes. There is a living water in the living Word that washes people. You know, over and over and over again in my life as a believer, and I'm sure everyone that's here that's walking with the Lord knows exactly what I'm talking about. You're going through life and you're struggling with an issue, whether it's struggling with temptation, struggling with doubt, struggling with fear, struggling with weak faith. And where do we find the answer? Over and over again, don't we cling to a promise, to a truth that's in the Word of God? The Word of God gives us the strength. The Word of God gives us the faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I mentioned earlier about unbelievers preaching the Word of God. You know, Judas was an unbeliever. And up until the time when the Lord revealed him as an apostate on the first Lord's table, I don't believe the other disciples had a clue. He was out there preaching the gospel and people got saved. He was doing what the other disciples were doing. Unsaved people can preach the gospel and the gospel will save. Unsaved people can read the Bible on their own and the Word of God will save. The power, the absolute, the essential power without which there is no salvation is in the Word of God. Now, just to wind this message up, I'd like to point out a few things, a few observations that I have made, how we can harmonize or balance the relationship between the work of the Spirit and the work of the Word of God. I want to point out once again that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Word of God in and of itself is the sword of the Spirit. We don't make the Word of God the sword of the Spirit by some special act of consecration. We don't make it the sword of the Spirit by prayer. We don't make it the sword of the Spirit by an experience of faith. We don't make it the sword of the Spirit by some upper room experience. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, whether we are what we ought to be or whether we're not what we ought to be. It is still the sword of the Spirit, and nothing can change that. Take heart to this. You find yourself in a desperate situation where you know you're not what you ought to be and you got an opportunity to do good? Well, guess what? Just use the Word of God. It will do its job. And again, as I pointed out earlier, I believe that people do have different amounts of blessing or filling, empowering of the Holy Spirit. This is a completely different issue than the power of the Word of God. The power, we're going to change. The Word of God will never change. In fact, my last point now is, I don't believe that it is possible for a saved person to preach the gospel, to preach the Word of God, and not have the presence and blessing of the Spirit of God for the Word of God to do its work. I don't believe that such a thing exists. I believe that God's concern for the work of redemption in this world is far bigger than our little faults and failures. You know, we read in the epistles of Paul rejoicing that even when obnoxious men were preaching the gospel out of contention with Paul, Paul still was thankful the gospel was preached and people were still saved. And we take heart in this, that whether we are what we ought to be or whether we're not what we ought to be, the gospel and the Word of God is powerful. It is the power of God unto salvation. It will do what it's designed to do. We can't add to it. We can't detract from it.